Hey, grandkids, welcome to another in the Stunt Granny audio interview series. And I think I stuck an extra word in there. Oh, well. This time around, we have the best agent in the business, Mr. Aaron McGuire. How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
Oh, I'm doing great. Pardon the interruption, but the almighty agent, Aaron McGuire, the breath of fresh air, root of all evil, media mogul, Commander of the Air Force. I'm here for my annual Stunt Granny free resolution control center, if you will.
Yes, that is of mild interest. You do not actually have a stake in any of the matches that, as we speak here, at least completely. Being involved in it. So, yeah, we're going to do a little, let's just say preview, I suppose, of Resolution through the eyes of one of the commentators who's been there for, aside from a couple of weeks recovering from that neck injury, from that heinous Jason Bain attack that that you undeservedly got, you've been front and center with the product this year.
Well, you know, Sports Time Ohio, the channel that we're broadcast on, they wanted more Aaron McGuire. And so I had to do what the people wanted. You know, the fans were writing in, they were tweeting, they were Twittering, they were emailing, faxing, cell phoning, texting. They said, we need more Aaron McGuire. We're all airheads. And, you know, Kevin, nowadays, there's so many airheads out there. They've all come together, and it's one big Air Force. And that's why I say I'm the commander and the leader of the Air Force. But, you know, it really isn't about me today. It's about the whole show. It's about EWO Resolution 4, Overdrive. As excited as I've ever been. I get to call the whole event. I've never called a Resolution before.
It's
you know, usually
really,
I'm in there kicking butt.
Certainly feels like the most matches on a card so far. Not that I've gone back to take account of any of the prior resolutions, but this does seem like an awfully big card and some awfully big names, to say the least.
Well, you know, the biggest name of all of them is the. But I'm sure we'll get to, you know, Marion Fontaine and Big Rig Brody Lee in due time. You know, go ahead. What do you got for me? What's the first match on your list there? What are we talking about here?
Well, let's lead off with for the WrestleRama Trophy. One fall count. We got Bobby Shields against Ben Fruth. Who do you have in this match?
I would have to say that Bobby Shields is going to pop the pimple on the face of PWO, and that pimple is known as Ben Fruth. That's what Bobby Shields told me personally, and I have to believe him because Bobby Shields isn't a man that's known as a liar in this industry. You know, this industry is full of liars and cheaters, and Bobby Shields is an up-and-up guy. I mean, that's just like all the other members of Sex Appeal are, but you know, Bobby Shields, I talked to him. He's over in the UK right now, and I'll tell you what, he had all the split ends taken out of his hair. He's really taking this match seriously with Ben Fruth. And he got the split ends taken out. He's been working on his tan. He's doing all the things necessary in order to win this big match, this huge match of his against an up-and-comer and a champion, I guess you could say, in Ben Fruth. I mean, he's a WrestleRama champion, which is, as everybody knows, maybe the most illustrious championship in auto show history with wrestling on the side.
And, yes, how, if you could give us a little recap at how Mr. Fruth got the WrestleRama trophy earlier this year.
Well, you see, Benford stole the trophy from a good friend of mine. And I believe he was just on the show 3 weeks ago, the amazing Nate Matson. One half of the Sons of Michigan, tag team champion, former television champion. And Abe Hansen was in there, and he was trying to give the kid one last lesson before he was done with Ben Truth. He was in there giving him the wrestling lesson of a lifetime, too. Well, I saw it. And he was teaching him moves, and he was showing him how to do things, and the crowd was going nuts for Nate Mattson. And then all of a sudden, you know, Joe Dombrowski likes to scream like a 12-year-old girl when this happens, but it was the Truth roll-up. Okay, the most ridiculous move in all of PWO, in all of wrestling, really. And what it is he did a schoolboy roll-up, and he held it tight. And, you know, it wasn't justified.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how they did not show that angle on any replays, even though replays are becoming commonplace in Pro Wrestling Ohio.
Well, we do have our fair share of replays now that we have a replay machine. So we're getting up there, high tech, baby. Tommy Shields with the Bobby Bomb.
Alrighty. Okay, that's what we like. I think I can hold off on my opinion and just keep on asking questions. So now that we have a winner picked for that, the next match, there is quite a crew involved here. The Homeless Handicap Connection, who is Gregory Iron and Hobo Joe. Arrow Forum, which is Lewis Linden and Flip Kendrick. Brian Bender and Brian Castle, and the champions, the aforementioned amazing Nate Mattson, and his friend from Big Blue, Mr. Benjamin Boone. Can you give us a quick rundown of the four teams here?
Sure, sure. I mean, this is one of the more interesting matches on the card because you got a four-way. You have the champions, which are the Sons of Michigan, and they've been a dominant tag team, and just an incredible run as tag team champions. Amazing Nate Mattson, Benjamin Boone. You know, there's not much that they can't compliment them on. They've got size, they've got power, they've got experience, they have strength, they're smart, they're from Michigan. They go the whole nine yards. And they're the champions. They're not the champions for no reason. And they defend them against, you know, three other teams, top contenders. Well, you know, Arrow Form is one of those teams. They're from Michigan also. But they said that they're from a dojo. And I'm not really sure what a dojo is. But that's where they're from. And they like to do kicks. And they like to jump off the top rope. And Lewis Linden has a style he calls a capicola. And I'm not sure what that style is, but I know it's a delicious, delicious ham. And I like to put mustard on it, personally. But Arrow Form, you know, they're going to give everybody a run for their money. They do a lot of cool stuff that the kids like these days, you know. And they're more new age, okay? On the other team, we got Brian Castle and Brian Bender. They kind of just lucked into it, but they can't be taken too lightly because I just like Brian Castle. The man's an idiot, but he's strong, and he's got a mean streak now all of a sudden. He's high-fiving people, Joe Dombrowski and the timekeeper for PWO, and Pedro DeLuca, the ring announcer, and people in the audience, and he's just making a fool of himself. But Brian Bender was trying to teach him that there's a serious side to wrestling. While Brian Bender was gone on an injury caused by Brian Castle, from what my sources tell me, not spotting him at the appropriate time when he was lifting weights, is when Brian Castle did come into his own and find that mean streak. So this could be the dark horse team. I don't know if they're going to beat the Sons of Michigan. I don't know if they're going to win the titles, but they're definitely something to watch out for. That final
now,
team. Final
the,
team.
The one thing about Brian Castle, would it be a good idea not to steal his headband in this matchup?
Oh, yeah, he's got the headband, the bandana, and from what I understand, it's lucky. Okay, and if you're in wrestling and you believe in luck, well, then you're an idiot. Okay, and Brian Castle is an idiot. But the thing is, I can't even say it to his face because he's so strong. And I didn't know he could be that mean. And it's just from somebody taking his bandana. And, you know, it's a bandana. But hey, I don't know. I heard somebody gave it to him, and the lot, and you know, well, whatever. You know, it's a bandana.
With superpowers, sometimes.
But that final team is the former tag team champions, the Homeless Handicap Connection, Gregory Iron and Hobo Joe. You can't discount them. Hey, see what I did there? Discount. And that's where Hobo Joe shops is in all the discount stores. But get back to them. Gregory Iron, all of a sudden this kid made a name for himself. And he goes out to Chicago, and CM Punk and Colt Cabana surprise him. And they tell him he's awesome, and they pick him up on their shoulders, and people are crying, and babies are crying, and children are laughing, and mothers are hugging their husbands, because Gregory Iron is this hero to everybody, because he's got a disease, cerebral palsy, I guess is what he's got, okay? I thought he just had an ugly hand, but he's got cerebral palsy, and he uses it to his advantage, which I think is disgusting, but he uses it to put himself out there in the media, and now he's everywhere. You know, he was just on ESPN the other day. ESPN.com is a story about him. He was on the I Want Wrestling podcast. That's pretty big news for him. He's got an offer to do Playgirl magazine, from what I understand. I won't be purchasing that issue, but, you know, feel free to if you'd like. He's also been offered the cover of Black Tail magazine. So Gregory Iron is out there, you know. He's a crippled crusader. He's a handicapped hero. He's got cerebral palsy. People feel bad for him. Look, I have a disease myself, okay? I have a real disease. It's called alcoholism. There's no cure for that. You know, I'd like to see Gregory Iron tough it out one day in my shoes. But, you know, again, this is about Gregory Iron and his best friend, longtime buddy, Hobo Joe, who I can't stand in the first place. And they're going after their dream to recapture the PWO Tag Team Championship. Well, if that's their dream, I think the Sons of Michigan are going to turn it into a nightmare for them.
Does the...
Sons retaining.
Okay. If the Sons are retaining, does it help them that it's an elimination-style rules matchup?
You know what? Everything's in the favor of the Sons, because like I said, they have the experience, they have the power, they have the technical prowess, they have the speed, they have the charisma. I've never seen a better tag team, personally. You know, and I know this Homeless Handicap Connection is riding a wave of a media blitz. You know, Gregory Iron's everywhere, but you know, the thing is, Kevin, this is Wrestlution, not Specialution. Okay, so Gregory Iron thinks he's going to get in there, and he's going to do his handicap parking, and all these people are going to cheer for him and that. Well, I don't know if that's going to happen, because how's he going to counter the big choke slam from the big bear, Benjamin Boone? Or how's he going to counter when Nate Matson locks him up in something like a Texas cloverleaf? Well, he's not. He's not going to be able to get out. And there's nothing Hobo Joe or Brian Castle, Brian Bender, or Errol Form is going to be able to do about it. It's just my opinion.
Gotcha. Okay, the next matchup here would be a newly announced one, which is former partners. His name used to be Eric Ryan, and then he fell under the spell of one Crimson and changed his name to Curse against his former partner, Corey Winters. What good information do you have on this matchup?
Big-time grudge match. I tried to have it a couple times before at various events. Never actually got fully underway through one circumstance or another, but, you know, Corey Winters and Eric Ryan, they used to travel together. They used to be very good friends. I even hired both of them. They debuted at the first Wrestlution. They came out to help me against Bane. When Bane was picking on me, I wasn't even doing anything to Bane. But Corey Winters and I almost said Eric Ryan, but he's a demonic disciple. His name is Curse now. And this should be a match that people are going to feel it when they're going to feel the intensity when these two men lock up. You know, Kirsch was gone for 90 days. He was gone for 90 days. And I did some investigative reporting, and I found that he was locked in a basement. Crimson locked him in a basement for 90 days. Getting some food and some water every once in a while. Make sure this man worked out. Make sure that he stayed out of the sunlight. Make sure that this man felt the pain and brought it out of his inner self. Now, the man that was known as Eric Ryan had a lot of repressed aggression, okay? And it took someone as generous and as kind and kind-hearted as Crimson, the number one contender, to bring this side out of Cursed, okay? I mean, the man was locked in a basement for 90 days, and I'm not talking about a basement like Justin LaBar sits in and types his reviews of shows. I'm talking about this is a real dungeony, dirty, nasty, stinky type basement. But
so you're thinking worse than the Heart Dungeon is what you're thinking.
Oh yeah, I hear the Heart Dungeon at Carpet. I heard the Heart Dungeon wasn't infested with rats. Well, the dungeon that Curse was in, it was worse than that. It was almost like a sewer.
Gotcha. So would you take Curse in this matchup because of all of the pent-up aggression?
Oh, yeah. I'd take Curse in a heartbeat. Black heartbeat. All right, this guy is for real.
Alrighty then. Let's keep moving on here then, just to keep this thing going. We have another title defense, and it is the current TV champion, Bobby Beverly, taking on Michael the Bomber Facade, Jason Gorey, who is also another disciple of Crimson, and Shima Zion. And this one is not an elimination match, is it?
No, this is one fall. I mean, all the odds are stacked against Bobby Beverly. Now, all the odds are stacked against him. First of all, we're supposed to find out who the number one contender was, not the numbers one, two, and three contenders. This is, you know, if I was Bobby Beverly, and I've talked to him on occasion, you know, we're good friends, we like to hang out in various clubs and such, I tell you, get in touch with a good attorney, because PWO management is really trying to stick it to him. I don't think they like him being the TV champion. I don't think that they like that he thrusts all over the screen, and people go wild for it. I tell you, little kids in school, little kids in Sunday school, they're all doing the thrust, because it's Bobby Beverly is the role model to look up to. You know, they don't call him the big unit for nothing. I mean, he is the television champion. You know, he made up a poem the other day, and he read it to me, and it touched my heart. And I'll read it to you right now. It says, "Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. When all the smoke clears, Bobby still thrusts." Oh man, I can't believe it. And who knew that the man could write poetry too? I mean, he defends TV championships. He does thrusts. He kicks people and. He's, I would dare to say, he's the leader of sex appeal. So Bobby Beverly, you know, all the glory to him. He's defending that title. He's got a 25% chance of retaining it. And I'm pulling for him just because the odds are stacked against him. You know, because I don't like to be biased. I mean, Bobby Beverly is a good friend and all, but, you know, also, I admire someone like Shima Zion to a point. You know, he's a fashion icon, a former male model, toured all around the world.
The Filipino Flex Factory.
That's right, he's the Filipino Flex Factory. And he's the first Filipino-born Filipinian, from what I understand. That's what my sources tell me. I got some really good sources, but he's the first Filipino-born Filipinian, and he's also... This is a man who told me personally he was going to win the PWO Television Championship and then take it over to Impact Wrestling with him and defend it on that show. And I couldn't see that happening. I mean, you know, I'm all for interpromotional or rivalries or this and that and making a name for yourself, but, you know, that's almost to the point where my stomach turns when I think of something like that. I mean, there's no Zema Ion there. You can't be Zema Ion and have a television championship. You got to be Shima Zion. You know, if it was Shima Zion taking the TV belt there, I would understand. I might be rooting for him. But you can't be Zema Ion. That's disgusting to me. And Gory. Gory's another one that's in this match. And I kind of like him, too. I mean, I won't talk to him personally. You know, I don't even look good in black and white. I'm good in color. But that's why I'm a color commentator. But Gory, he's one of those guys that he'll sneak up on you. He'll sneak up on you, and he'll stab you in the back. And then when you turn around, he'll stab you in the front, too. He's gotten so vicious and so bloodthirsty since aligning himself with the number one contender, Crimson, and with Curse. And you can't count Gory out. Gory's definitely a threat in this match. I have to say the fan favorite. You know, because he has his own section of fans. They're called the Bomb Squad. Michael the Bomber Facade. He calls himself the Suburban Terrorist. He's spray-painting people. They're signs. He's creeping. Kevin, get this. He's creeping while you're sleeping.
Yeah, that's sleeping, always something to worry about.
And he's creeping. Yeah. You know, I'm worried about different things. I don't need, you know, I need to be worried about matches and money and, you know, not getting caught cheating on my wife. And all of a sudden now I hear something outside my window. I have to go to a curtain and peek out there and I see Michael the Bomber Facade creeping. Well, I hope he doesn't win just because of that. I hope he loses, as a matter of fact. That's what I'd have to say. In the grand scheme of things, my choice is Bobby Beverly to retain the championship.
Okie dokie, I think that was a pretty solid state of affairs for that matchup. And our next matchup is a partner in crime for Mr. Beverly there. Late night, Nikki Valentino taking on the one and the only Tito Santana.
Oh, my gosh. This is a match I'm really looking forward to. I mean, Nikki Valentino. This guy has come on as a late. He's a big star. I mean, he's a bigger star than Tito Santana ever was. But Tito Santana, in his day, was big. I mean, he was El Matador. He was El Matador. I mean, he used to fight bulls. But, you know, Nikki Valentino, he's a guy that he wears a fanny pack. He wears Zubaz pants, aviator sunglasses, because he was born 30 years too late. You know, he could have been in his prime wrestling guys like Tito Santana on the circuit, all around the country, wrestling guys like Greg the Hammer Valentine. Well, now he gets his chance. He gets his chance to wrestle Tito Santana in front of the biggest pay-per-view audience that he's ever been in front of in his life. And I'm happy for him. You know, Tito Santana, he wanted to stick up for Greg the Hammer Valentine because he was mad that, well, he was mad that Nikki Valentino told Greg Valentine, "You're not old school, you're just old." And I thought it was great. I thought it was great. And I also thought it was great that Greg Valentine was able to wake up from his nap long enough to give a half-coherent interview. I mean, now, rumors have it that by the time we get to Resolution, Greg the Hammer Valentine may be dead. I mean, Nikki Valentino, he's totally 80. But Greg Valentine, he's just totally 80. He's like 80 years old. You know, and he can't even barely walk. He's been trying to get on these Resolution cards for years now. And he can barely wake up for his nap. He said he's got a list of demands if he comes to be in the corner of Tito Santana. And his main demand was, You want one of those roll-away beds that you get at a hotel? You want one of those rolled out to ringside to put in the corner so that way if the match goes 60 minutes like Nicky Valentino says it will, he can take a nap for 25 of those minutes. And then I also have a problem with, you know, will we be able to get him out of the retirement home? I mean, he might be playing bridge during that time. So, you know, I like Nicky Valentino. You know, he does things like he watches The Cosby Show. He likes New Coke. He drinks clear Pepsi. And Greg Valentine said, he called Nicky Valentino kid. But Greg Valentine calls Moses kid. And that's how old Greg Amber Valentine is. So, in my humble opinion...
Do we have to worry about Nicky Valentino putting Tito Santana through the Spanish announce table at Resolution?
Well, you know what? I think he might put him through Pedro's little table that he sits at and announces that sometimes. Because Pedro, believe it or not, is half Spanish. So if he puts him through half the table, that's kind of what you're talking about here. I mean, Tito Santana, he's going to be saying, "Hiva!" But he's going to be getting slammed through a table. Well, I don't even know if he's going to get slammed through the table. You know what? Nicky Valentino may set him on the table and then put the figure four on him. I heard he changed the name. It's called the figure 84 because it was in 1984 that Nicky Valentino actually thought of that move. But, you know, Tito Santana's going to try to hit that flying jalapeno, the flying burrito, and I don't think he's going to be able to do it. I mean, yes, he has a lot of accolades. He's a champion for a long time. People liked him. You know, and he fought bulls, and he's a high school gym teacher. But let's be real here. This is late night Nicky Valentino talking about. And I think he's going to be the victor.
Okay, outstanding. Next matchup here. The first three PWO champions, starting with Matt Cross, M-Dog 20, who did benefit from your great work earlier this season. Josh Prohibition, was the second champion and just coming back after a two-year hiatus. And Johnny Gargano, who was, the third champion out of all of them, and he also retired Josh Prohibition 2 years ago. So, what's the rundown on this matchup?
Well, Josh Prohibition is the mentor to both of them. He's the teacher. You know, and he said they didn't like it when he was out on the streets and people were saying, "You used to be Josh Prohibition. Didn't you used to be Josh Prohibition?" He said he still is Josh Prohibition. And he came back to PWO to show the world that he is still Josh Prohibition. And I believe him. The man's a master manipulator. I wouldn't even doubt that he went on hiatus for 2 years to just for a ruse, for a plot, for a plan, for a scheme. He may have faked his own retirement, been gone, made people think he was never coming back, and he was working out, and then he comes back. And I thought he was the masked guy that attacked Johnny Gargano. You know, after the championship match with Marion Fontaine, where Fontaine won the belt. But it wasn't even Prohibition. I thought it could have been M-Dog. It wasn't M-Dog. I don't know who the mask guy is and if he's going to play a part in this match or not, but I know that Josh Prohibition is the one that hired him. And Josh Prohibition is guaranteed this is going to be the greatest match in Cleveland history. And Kevin, it will be. I've seen these men wrestle before. But never all three in the ring at the same time.
Definitely does have a whole lot of potential for an extremely well-wrestled match, which does make it quite exciting to take this in. And
match ever.
All the conflict between mentors and friends here definitely helps ratchet up the intensity of this matchup.
This is the reason why I'm glad I'm not involved directly in a PWO match at Resolution this year. That's why I'm glad I'm calling these matches, because I need to see this match. You know, it's because of a match like this that people that used to be wrestling fans start liking wrestling again. Or a match like this will take somebody that is a wrestling fan and make them proud to be a wrestling fan. I can't wait to see it. I've been in this business 15 years, okay? And this is the most anticipated match in my whole life. It's going to be the greatest match. I mean, M-Dog's there. I just got M-Dog a contract with WWE for Tough Enough. You know, we all watched him. We all thought, you know, they told him he wasn't cool enough or something. Whatever. You see this guy wrestle? He's the best there is. Best high flyer. He's an innovator of aerial insanity is what he is. And if you've ever seen his workout routine, he starts the day off, wakes up, and he has eggs and avocado. That's what he has for breakfast. And then he starts his day working out. And he's just lifting weights. Sometimes he's walking down the street, and he's got a weight in his hand. 85 pounds, and he's just pressing it. And then he does flips and stuff, too. He was a gymnast. Olympic gymnast. This is M-Dog, Matt Cross here.
Yeah, he has quite the...
He came back to PWO.
He has quite a resume. He
came back to PWO. PWO to finish the job on Johnny Gargano that he started. I like it. And then, of course, there's Gargano. And, you know, Johnny, he's got all these moves, too. He's got crazy moves I've never seen before. He's got a new one. He's got a submission move he calls the Gargano Way Out. He may debut that here. He may get a submission victory over one of these guys. I don't know. He's got that uniquely you. He seems to put many a guy away with that one. Johnny Gargano is internationally traveled now. He's come back. He claims he's stronger than ever after he had his physical therapy from the neck trauma that was caused and the back injury that he had. And I don't know how any of it happened, because I do my job and I just call it commentating. I don't ever get physically involved. And I was watching it with something that happened, and somebody came and covered my eyes. I think it was that idiot Brinks. And I don't know what happened exactly, but Johnny got hurt, and now Johnny's back. And obviously, if you look at him, he's stronger than ever. And it's just, you got these three men who all have at least at one point been affiliated with each other. And now, they're ready to tear each other's heart out. I'm excited. Hey, and I'll tell you what, I got M-Dog in this match. I either got M-Dog, or I got Prohibition. Or I got Johnny, if he does that move I was talking about. So, I say, the way it comes down, triple count out. That's what I say.
Okay, now that we're done with the triple threat match, let's go ahead and move on to the lone women's matchup of the card. We got returning Portia Perez. Taking on Veda Scott. Portia Perez, she has been on the card before, so I think our fans are a little more familiar with her. So what information do you have on this newcomer, Veda Scott?
Veda Scott, I'll tell you what. She's a rookie this year, but she far exceeds a rookie level, okay? She was trained by Delirious and Daisy Hayes. This is a girl who's voted most likely to succeed in high school. She does these moves. I've been studying her. She does a tornado DDT and right into a choke. And she calls it the deep thought. It's after the supercomputer in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy,
She does that move. You know it? So, this girl, I saw her, she does these rolling neck breakers as well. QED, she called it. And you know, it's a quad erat demonstrandum. You know what that means?
No, I do not.
That which was to be proved. You know, it's just like in math. There's a QED in math, and it's mathematic proof. And that's what she calls it. She's intricate. Kevin, the woman thinks. She has a brain. And it's startling to me, because I don't know too many women. I mean, I'm not saying women are dumb. I'm saying they're not smarter than men. But this girl may be smarter than a man. Yeah, I know she's smarter than somebody like Brian Castle. But, she does charity events. She's an all-out nice girl. I hope to corrupt her. I hope she gets into Cleveland early so that I can talk to her. Maybe develop a relationship with her. Because I just broke up with Epiphany. I don't know if anybody knows that, but I broke up with Epiphany, and, you know, I like her to stop. She's a girl next door. And she's really, like, you know, people used to call them preps in the school. She's real preppy. And she was on the academic scholar mathematics team. And then I hear, you know, she's not in high school anymore. She still goes back and tutors them. The girls got it all going on. Now, you know, Porsche Perez is a Canadian ninja with a plethora of experience. And she does that move, the super duper kick. It's not just a super kick, it's a super duper kick. And she's got that quality about her where you look like you want to like her, but then she's mean. And I like that about her, too.
A mean streak is always beneficial in wrestling.
Yeah, you know, and when I first heard that Porsche Perez was coming back to PWO, and she issued an open challenge, I thought Doc Monstrous would accept it. To be honest with you, I thought Doc Monstrous would accept it. And I called Doc Monstrous, and she didn't answer the phone. And obviously she was busy fighting crime, but they just got stepped up on the biggest stage. A girl hasn't even been in the business a year yet, and she's going to be on Internet Pay-Per-View, GoFightLive.tv, for $14.99, showing her craft against the best female wrestler in the world today, Porsche Perez. Interesting match.
So if she is the best wrestler, woman wrestler, is she going to be the one who comes out with the victory?
Yes. Unless, you know, Porsche Perez will come out victory. She'll be the victor. But if Veda Scott and I talk the night before, maybe at the party before, or in the morning the next day, if we end up talking and she needs a good agent, or just an advisor, or a boyfriend, whatever, then I would pick Veda Scott. But it's all depending on, you know, if we get our talk on.
Okay, then. The one last title match that we have on the docket here to have a little discussion about is Crimson, who has been terrorizing Pro Wrestling Ohio for the last couple of years, against your nemesis, Jason Bane, in a no disqualification match for the PWO Championship. How is your former nemesis going to hold out against Crimson?
Look, firsthand, every resolution I've seen what Jason Bane can do. He took out my first charge, Cronus. He's taken out the Gambinos. He took out Raven. He beat Marion Fontaine for the title. He even got 5 minutes in the ring with me at Resolution 1. And we had a match. And it was a match for the ages. I was getting ready to give him my figure four leg lock off the top rope. But something happened, and I tripped, and Jason Bane got the victory over me. So, this guy's tough. I mean, I can hate him all I want. But there's a reason I hate him, is because he's so damn tough. He's not smart, but he's tough. You know, his moniker is, I think Joe Dombrowski gave him this name. He calls him the most dominant man in PWO. You know what I call him? I call him the most dumbest man in PWO. I mean, let's face it, his name isn't Jason Brain. It's Jason Bane. I'm the only one they call the Brain around here. And Jason Bane, he just wins through pure ferociousness. And he's dominating. He's a man. He's strong. But he's a good champion. I won't take that from him. If he wants to give me a cut of his money for hyping him up so much, I'd be willing to take it. But I've never seen done to him what was done to him by Crimson and the Dead Wrestling Society, the Cursed and Glory. They laid him out. I mean, I put a bounty on the man's head before. 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, 94,000, $216,000 and 44 cents. And nothing ever worked out. I paid Raven $100,000. He couldn't get the job done. I didn't even have $100,000. I think Raven's still waiting for the check. That's why he's doing all those Comic-Cons. But Crimson. Crimson played mind games with Jason Bane, and he got in his head, and then he got physical with him, and he put his face in a chair twice, and then he stood over him with the PWO championship, and he said, Crimson, like the mask. And I believe him. Crimson, I'll dare say, the new PWO champion.
He certainly does have a little more help than Jason Bane in a no disqualification match with Cursed and Jason Gorey being at ringside. Do you think Jason Bane is smart enough to?
You know what? Here, let me stop you right
help.
There. I need to stop you right there because even though it's a no disqualification match. The Dead Wrestling Society believe in fair play. So, if Curse is at ringside, and if Gordy's at ringside, I think they'll just be there spectating. I don't think they would get involved in the match, because they believe that that's underhanded tactic, and it's cheating. And that's not what they're about. So I think Crimson wins one-on-one, clean, no help. And I'll be the first man to shake his hand.
Then that means we are down to the last match, at least in the order that Pro Wrestling Ohio put these up on their site, is Big Rig Brody Lee and the megastar Marion Fontaine taking on Omega Aaron Draven and Big Daddy Cool and about a million other nicknames, Kevin Nash. With somebody in their corner that we will not mention, like Voldemort.
Well, Eddie, you know what? That's fine with me because I can't stand the guy. You know, I can't stand him. He's a disgrace to the business, and to be in my business, that's a disgrace. We'll talk about Big Rig Brody Lee right now. I mean, Kevin Nash claims. Claims that he's the one that's Big Sexy and Big Daddy Cool. But Brody Lee's a Big Rig. I'm the Big Breath of Fresh Air. And Marion Fontaine is the Big Mustache. So Big Rig Brody Lee, he's driving. He's driving that big semi. And Marion Fontaine, he's riding shotgun. And I get to sit in the back sometimes. I like it. They let me play with the horn. I get to honk it. Chicks and stuff. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Brody Lee, a bigger, badder, younger, sweeter, more handsome version than Kevin Nash ever was. And I can't wait till he gets in the ring. He's going to kick somebody's face off. And it just might be Kevin Nash's. Although, if it's Aaron Graven's, I won't mind. You know what Brody Lee told me? Brody Lee told me he was going to kick Aaron Graven so hard in the face that he was going to straighten out his lazy eye. He's going to put that lazy eye to work. And when you say something like that, you can't help but get excited and rejoice and follow a man like Brody Lee. This is what he does for a living. He just beats people up and drives a truck. And then we got the megastar, the former PWO champion, the greatest PWO champion in history. I've been preaching for a long time, you got to be fair to Mayor. You got to be fair to Mayor. And PWO wasn't fair to Mayor. He took it upon himself to tell a story. You know, PWO was dropping the ball with Marion Fontaine. And, you know, it was their fault what happened in the first place with that critic that was coming to the events. You know, here, I don't have to tell you the story. I have to tell you a story. Look, okay. The guy's name is Justin Labar. All right, I'll have to say it. But look, here's the story. You know, the first day, okay, that it was announced to the roster from PWO management that Justin Labar was going to be a special invited guest to the PWO event. And worse, this mark was going to be allowed into our locker room. None of the boys were happy. I mean, people were very upset. We take this business seriously. Okay, and for somebody like Justin Labar, he's followed wrestling for 3 years. You know, what is that? He doesn't even have a favorite wrestler. He hasn't been around long enough to understand things. Okay, his business is built by respect and by paying your dues. He didn't pay his dues. He may have paid somebody off to get as popular as he's become. He's got connections, yeah. But you know what? That first day, look, we're shooting now. Bobby Shields pooped in his bag. All I'm going to say it, and I'm sorry to put Bobby out there like that, but Bobby Shields pooped in the man's bag. I mean, people don't like him. But I was nice. I asked the boys to be nice. I gave him a cute little nickname. I called him Justin the Beaver. And all I asked for was for him to be fair to Mayor. And this jerk couldn't even do that. So Marion Fontaine went on a rampage, and he slapped the taste out of Justin Labar's mouth, and it was one of the greatest days in PWO, one of the greatest moments in PWO history, or maybe in the history of the world. Right up there with Evolution. I mean, you know, Evolution as in where man came about, not that wrestling group.
That's
you know, and then so Justin Labar runs out, and he uses his connections, and he says he's going to get this NWO member. And I thought, well, he's got to be talking about Virgil. Well, Virgil's not booked for anything Resolution weekend. So we were training for Virgil. And then he ends up here saying it wasn't Virgil. And then I thought, well, maybe it's Horace. Maybe it's Horace Hogan. Or maybe we'll look out and we'll get the Disciple. And maybe we can bring him back to PWO. But no. He brings in the main member of the NWO, the leader of the NWO, the founder of the NWO, Big Sexy Kevin Nash. Well, you got Marion Fontaine, the megastar. You got Big Rig Brody Lee. And if Justin Labar gets involved, I mean, I'm only 10 feet away, okay? And I've been drinking my mineral water. And I've been eating my steak. And I don't even cook my meat anymore. That's how frustrated. That's how crazy intense I'm getting. This is Resolution. You bring in the mega Aaron Draven. He's a locker room stooge. That's why he's there. That's why he's buddies with Labar. He's giving them inside information. That's why there's a connection there. Them two are in the chat room. The two of them are in the chat room. Okay? Aaron Draven. You know, he had these personal issues, so he was gone from PWO for a while. But, you know, whatever Draven's personal issues were, whatever his demons were, he should go back to him. You know, I don't care if it's drugs, alcohol, hookers, scratch off lottery tickets, whatever. He used to be a television champion. He was good at some point, but now he aligns himself with a critic and Kevin Nash. And it sickens me. Big Daddy Cool. Nice. Big Sexy. 21 titles. You know that, Kevin? 21 titles Kevin Nash has held. Five-time WCW champion. One-time WWF champion. 358 days of him being WWF champion. Nine-time WCW tag team champion. Two-time WWF tag team champion. One-time TNA tag team champion. So the man can wrestle tag team. He's a tag team specialist as well. So he can carry her in Graven, I guess. PWR, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Wrestler of the Year in 1995. But the one title he hasn't held, all those titles, the one title he hasn't held is the title of being Aaron McGuire's best buddy. And that title is currently held by the megastar, Marion Fontaine. And I can't wait till Marion Fontaine gets in there and he slaps Kevin Nash right across the face. Big Daddy Fool. That's what I call him. Ha! Big Daddy Fool.
Well, I think he is a fool for taking on this match. Well, that does cover the entire card here for Resolution 4 Overdrive. And I like to leave our guests up to close out the show here because, well, they are more important to our show. So, Mr. McGuire, the floor is yours to wrap up the show with here.
Well, you know what? I got so upset there thinking about that team. Kevin Nash and Draven, Omega Draven, and whatever, okay? And their manager. All right. I got so upset about them that I didn't even make my prediction. And I'm going to go all on a limb here. I don't know nobody would ever think this. But I'm going to pick the winners at Resolution 4, and the main event will be the megastar Marion Fontaine and Big Rick Brody Lee. I'm just saying it right now. They're gonna win, and I'm happy for them. But also, before I go, I do want to say that on August 6th, the night before Resolution, also on the internet pay-per-view on GoFightLive.tv for $14.99, there's going to be a meet-and-greet, a party with Kevin Nash at Harpo's Sports Cafe. Okay? I was supposed to host this. I'm the host of PWO TV. But Kevin Nash personally requested that I not be the host. That Justin LaBar and Joe Dombrowski, they're co-hosting the event. And also, Aaron McGuire's not even on the guest list. I'm not invited. All right? They're not being fair to Air, which, by the way, is my Twitter name. Fair to Air, so follow me, people. But I decided, well, who wants to see Kevin Nash anyway? What about I host my own party? And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to host a Dan Arkham meet and greet party. It's going to be a karaoke contest, a dance-off, a coloring contest. There's going to be so many different things. Arm wrestling contest. And it's going to be fun. Okay, we're going to get back to the basics. I mean, and that Kevin Nash party, they're charging $79 a head for it. $79 a head to meet and party with Kevin Nash. Just because he's not going to sign an autograph. He hangs out with you, actually. I guess you get to buy him drinks. Like he's not milking enough off of PWO. But come to my party, which is at the same place. I rented out half of Harpo's. The Dan Arkham party, it's only $500 a ticket. And a special rate for couples, $1,050. And that goes to a good cause. That goes to the Marion Fontaine campaign. And I'm happy to represent it. So, on that note, August 6th, broadcast live, if you order the pay-per-view for the next day, if you order Resolution 4, you get not only the Kevin Nash meet-and-greet, but you get the Dan Arkham meet-and-greet as well. And I've got a list of celebrities lined up to be there. I invited Now he's a wild Samoan. He's crazy. He's Samoan. So he's wild, too. And I invited him. And I have a confirmed guest. Jake Taylor is going to be there. And Jake Taylor. It almost doesn't get any bigger than that from PWO Season 1. And I hope Kevin Nash doesn't think that I didn't run out the half of Harpo's to not talk to him personally and get face-to-face with him. But I'll get face-to-face with him. And I don't even reach his face, but I know someone who does. His name's Big Rick Brody Lee. He's going to reach his face, and he's going to punch him in it. And Mario Fontaine's going to slap him in it. And it's going to be a beautiful day.
Outstanding.
Live from Vegas Pavilion, Resolution 4.
Well, we would like to, again, thank you for coming on, and I'm glad. Did you get all your plugs out there that you needed to?
Oh, yeah, Fair to Hair. Make sure you follow me. Look me up on Facebook. Aaron McGuire. You'll see the picture. The Dan Arkham party popping big time. August 6th. August 7th, Resolution. Jacobs Pavilion. Be there live. If you can't be there live, order it on internet pay-per-view. From the comfort of your own home.
Go
you
fight.
It's
Go Fight Live.
The best part about the pay-per-view. Yeah, GoFightLive.tv. Best part about the pay-per-view, not being there live, is that you get to hear my commentary. And that's what people know. That's what people know PWO for. So, tune in and get a breath of fresh air.
Unfortunately, my ear holes will not be filled with the Aaron McGuire love, but I will be there live to soak it all in. So, yes, August 7th, Resolution 4 Overdrive up in Cleveland, Ohio, one last time there at Jacobs, formerly Nautica Pavilion.